Coming up on Golf Today, one of the game's deep thinkers, Rory McIlroy, meets the media in Scotland, looking ahead to the Alfred Dunhill Links, looking back at the Open that got away. What else did the world number two have to say? And Burns, baby, Burns. Sam Burns defends his title at the Sanderson Farms Championship, fresh off victory at the President's Cup. Will the mojo carry over to Mississippi? He visits with Todd Lewis. And Michelle Wee West is the face of a new LPGA tournament coming to Liberty National next year. She hops on the program to talk about what you will see in New Jersey in 2023. That's right, we got Weezy on Golf Today.
Golf Today.
Golf Today on a Wednesday. Damon Hack alongside Anna Jackson. We got Weezy on this Wednesday. But you had Weezy last week at Liberty National.
Yeah, this new event that is coming to the LPGA Tour next season, really exciting. They officially announced it next Friday down at Liberty National. I went down there to find out a little bit more. Got to talk to Michelle about the Mizuho Americas Championship. And it's not just any old event.
Okay.
One, it's at Liberty National. It's one of the biggest purses we're going to have next season, $2.75 million. But what's really exciting is that they're bringing in 24 of the best junior girls from the AJGA to play alongside the LPGA Tour stars for the whole week.
Wow.
So they're playing for their own tournament alongside them. So what an amazing experience for these youngsters.
Absolutely, especially to be in the midst of a Michelle Wee who knows what it's like to be an incredible junior player, and the good, the bad, and the ugly, and some of the pressures of young stardom. I love Liberty National, by the way. I shot my career round 82 there.
Did
you know that?
Oh, wow,
yes.
My goodness.
I'm going to ask Michelle about that
as well. This show is off to a hot start already. Yeah, we're looking forward to talking to Michelle. But let's get to the action, shall we, at the top of the show, because this week marks a very special one on the DP World Tour as the Old Course, Carnoustie and Kings Barnes play host to the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship. This is a pro-am event similar in nature to the PGA Tour's AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, in which the professional player is paired with an amateur partner. They will play with rotation on each of the three courses for the first three rounds before the cut. And the final round will be played on the Old Course at St. Andrews. And this is always one of the most anticipated events on this tour, which is why we get fields like this. Not only have we got Rory McIlroy, we've got US Open champion Matthew Fitzpatrick out there playing with his mum Susan for the first time, Shane Lowry, Tommy Fleetwood, Billy Horschel, Danny Willett. You know, these are just the players that the crowds love to see.
Yeah, strong field, strong family ties as well. Rory loves this place. Let's look back at some of this notable moment. This is what, 2007? On the way to earning his DP World Tour card.
Yeah, the youngest player to earn his card on the DP World Tour at the time. So this has always been a very, very special place for Rory, and kind of the memories just continue to keep flooding in, D-Hack. Let's move to 2017. Check this out.
Oh, just full release. The big dog letting it eat on that reachable par four finisher. Tough year for him, right? Dealing with a bit of a rib injury, I recall.
That lingering injury. I think this was the last event of his season.
Yeah.
He was ready to kind of hang up the clubs, but not a bad way to finish as well. Oh, look at that smile. Happy Rory. We like a happy Rory.
Yeah, he caught that one right on the screws. And then 2019, so off the green.
Yeah, this was his best appearance, I think, in the team event with his dad.
Oh, yeah.
They finished so close. They just lost on count back, which comes to the kind of the final scores of the final few holes. But he so wants to get over the line with Jerry. It's something that would mean so much to him. They've got a great relationship, these two.
They really do. I remember seeing Jerry during the Open Championship over the summer. You take a look at Rory's record with his dad. Done very well. 8 appearances, 5 top 10 finishes. Feels best finishes, a second or tied for second 3 times, and most recently played back in 2019. That tie for 26th. And speaking of the last time Rory was at the Old Course, that of course was the summer chasing a 5th major title. And this was a drive he didn't quite catch the way he wanted to.
No, it was a tough one. It was a tough one. It was hard not to be rooting for Rory this summer. History was in his hands, and he was the man to take home the Claret Jug that week.
Yes, he was. Earlier today, Rory spent some time with Jamie Weir of Sky Sports looking back.
Yeah, when we get to play, it certainly is one of the weeks that I look forward to the most. like even just, you know, strolling around St Andrews this morning with him, with Danny Willett and Jimmy Dunn, who's a good friend of ours as well. It's, yeah, you just don't get to do this very often, and it is, it's really, really nice. You know, we've, as you said, we've come close a couple of times before. We got beaten on a count back the last time we were here. So, I mean, I said in the press conference there, I'm probably more focused on the team event than I am on the individual. So it's just about trying to get him over the line this week and obviously try to do anything I can to make that happen.
I have to ask, you know, being back here is a little bit bittersweet. Are there still a few mental scars when you walk around the old course?
No, I don't. Like, I've had so many great memories here over the years. It's a place where I got my tour card. You know, I've played two Open Championships here and played great in both of them. I've had so many great memories with my dad over the years playing the Dunhill. So all those memories far outweigh, you know, what happened in July. Like, it's, I wish things would have worked out differently, but at the same time, you know, St Andrews means a lot more to me than just trying to win a claret jug here. I've been coming here for so many years. It's been a big part of my life, and don't think I would. I don't think I'd be doing myself justice if I didn't see all the good things that St Andrews has sort of given me and provided me over the years. Very grateful to be able to play here, to experience it, the memories. And look, I'll have other chances to win claret jugs as well around here. So certainly wasn't my last chance this year. And, you know, hopefully if I can keep playing the way I'm playing, you know, whenever the Open rolls around and, you know, 5 years time, whenever it is again, I'll have another good chance.
That major aside, when you look at 2022, are you playing the best golf of your life at the moment, would you say?
I think the stats would suggest that I'm playing, you know, if you're purely looking at numbers and you're looking at strokes gain statistics, yeah, you know, it's very close to the best golf that I've played for a calendar year. It's funny that the, you know, when you look purely into the numbers and you look at the numbers that I put up at the majors this year, like, there would be other years with those strokes gain numbers that I would have won two majors. You know, it just is what it is. It you know, my performances in the majors were very good in 2014, but I got hot for a couple of them and obviously went on winning. And look, everyone's going to remember you winning championships and lifting trophies, and not that you've gained over three on the field at a major championship. But consistently, I think the thing is, what I've learned this year, you just keep putting yourself in position to win golf tournaments. You're going to win some that you probably shouldn't win, like the FedEx a few weeks ago, and then you're probably going to lose some that you should win, like here in July. So, but if you keep putting yourself in those positions over and over again, you know, the law of averages suggests that you're going to win your fair share. And over the course of my career, I feel like I've certainly won my fair share of golf tournaments.
Always good to hear from Rory. Always good to see Rory. And I tell you what, Dee, he got a little bit of redemption on the 18th today. Do I smell an eagle? That eagle that he needed at the Open Championship.
He did, and was reminded about it on social media. I was surprised just how mean some people were about, you know, where was that a couple of months ago, that tee shot, you know, which came up short. Here's the putt. I mean, how about it?
A two.
Would have been nice.
Would have been nice, but I mean, slightly different playing conditions, shall we say. The pressures of closing out an Open Championship and a little fun practice round at the Dunhill. But it is really nice to see him back there. And it is the storyline that haunts Rory, of course, is he going to get another major on his resume? And it's kind of getting boring now because Rory does so much for this game outside of just how many majors he's got to his name. Where do you think we are at now, Dee? How important do you think it is for him to perhaps get another one on that list?
Oh, it's important, and he knows it's important, but he's so balanced, and he's also bullish on his prospects going forward, knowing that he's coming off an incredible statistical season. He was first in strokes gained total on the PGA Tour, 16th in strokes gained putting on the PGA Tour. We've talked for time immemorial about the flat stick, how it can kind of run hot and cold. It's been very hot of late, but it's the mental aspect. I think Rory is so comfortable in his skin with his leadership outside the ropes as well. But make no mistake, at 33 years of age, we can't be saying that he's won his last major at the age of 25. Mm-hmm. I think he would be viewing that as a disappointment. So I think he will come into this season knowing that statistically he's playing some of the best golf of his life, and he has to kind of find a way for him to hang around on those Sundays, like he said, you know, at the FedEx Cup, where he maybe didn't deserve to win, and he did, and that one of these majors, at some point, just by being there. Didn't finish worse than eighth in a major in 2022. Just by being there, one will fall his way.
I mean, no doubt the big priority for Rory is the accomplishments inside the ropes. But I get the sense that our focus on the way that he's grown as an individual, as a player, it's slightly diluted that conversation just because of the impact that he is having on this game outside of the ropes. And you're kind of looking at me as if to say you don't disagree, because I know you know how strong his potential is. But Rory McIlroy has taken it upon himself, alongside Tiger Woods, alongside Jay Monahan and some of the other guys on tour, to essentially redefine this professional game as we know it, to save the PGA Tour from this threat that they've had from Liv all year long. And that has to be a distraction, but that's a decision that he's decided to take on himself. And I think when we look at Rory's legacy, that will no doubt play a part in how we remember him as an icon in this game and someone to look up to and someone who will inspire the next generation, not necessarily just through his play.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think this whole PGA Tour Live battle has provided clarity for Rory McIlroy. In a long career, and Adam Scott has talked about this as well, you're not going to always have the fire burning to the level that you want it to be. And I think Rory, who has, you know, a growing family, you know, he's a father, married, he's been doing this for a long, long time. I imagine his motivation through the years has ebbed and flowed as any human being, maybe outside of Tiger Woods, would feel. I do think having this threat to the PGA Tour and the leadership role that he has taken on has added to who he is as a person and as a player in terms of having a reason outside of himself to play great golf. He's already one of the most talented players we've ever seen. Now he has this extra, you know, 15th club in his bag, as it were. I think that's only going to be an addition, a help, as he continues to chase major number five.
Yeah, and so often we hear about him say he's just proud that he's giving himself chances. He's putting himself in the right position. You know, he was the only player to top eight in all of the majors this season, which is a terrific record in itself. Obviously, the heartbreak at the Open, but a really promising finish at the Masters.
Amazing.
And we know he's got skeletons in the closet at Augusta National. And, of course, the top eight finishes at the other two as well. You have to think it is going to come. I mean, we say this at the start of every season.
Yeah.
But after a season like that, it has to come eventually.
He didn't look troubled to me in the couple times I interviewed him in 2022. He didn't sound troubled to me. Did he sound troubled to you at home? Did he sound troubled to you talking to Jamie about where he is in the game, knowing that the putter is fixed, as it were, that his ball striking is fantastic? He knows that statistically speaking, he's right where he needs to be. Doesn't always mean the trophies are going to come on the Sunday that you want them to. But I think right now, going into 2023, with what this last season, you know, gave him, which was three victories, including a third FedEx Cup title, with his voice as strong as it's ever been, everything is pointing toward the direction, I think, of a fifth major title, barring, you know, any injury or some unforeseen circumstance. I mean, how could it not, considering the quality of golf that he is turning in week in and week out?
And he's still achieving things in this game that not many people have achieved. Now, three FedEx Cup titles.
Yes.
If he wins this week, I mean, he's got a very easy chance of locking up the Race to Dubai this season as well. So to win the FedEx Cup and the Race to Dubai in the same season, no one's done that since Henrik Stenson back in 2013. And I think we can very easily overlook these achievements because they're not majors. But ultimately, he's still doing stuff in the game that we don't see that often.
Yeah, he's held to an incredibly high standard because of the way he started his career. You know, Tiger Woods was held to that standard throughout his career because of the way he started his career with a 12-shot victory at the Masters in 1997. Yeah. And you had Rory winning his first major by eight and his second major by eight. And he had four majors at the age of 25. And I think the expectations will always be high for this player. But make no mistake, I can't imagine any scenario where he ends his career with four major championships. I just can't. Call me an optimist. Call me, you know, someone wearing rose-colored glasses. The talent is too good. And I think the equilibrium and the temperament is in a perfect balance for Rory McIlroy right now.
Yeah, the natural talent that he's got from that little kid kind of hitting balls into that washing machine to the man
that
he's...
The
man that he's grown into. He has too much natural talent and a passion for this game. And my goodness, we would all love to see it.
Golf Central Update, brought to you by Callaway Golf.
And we're back on Golf Today. On Sunday at Quail Hollow, the U.S. team took down the Internationals 17.5 to 12.5 to win the President's Cup for the 12th time in 14 events. Now, the U.S. President's Cup rookie Sam Burns had several highlight-worthy moments, but ultimately finished with an 0-3-2 record for the week. He's come right from Charlotte, North Carolina, to Jackson, Mississippi, to defend his title at this week's Sanderson Farms Championship. Now, last year, Burns shot 22-under to beat Nick Watney and Cameron Young by one shot, despite making a bogey on the final hole. It was an emotional win for Burns, who played in honor of his month-old nephew, Burns Walker, who was in a Dallas hospital battling spinal meningitis. Burns gets his first round underway tomorrow at 1:28 p.m. Eastern alongside Chad Ramey and Christian Bezuidenhout, who's also coming off of the President's Cup. With more on Burns, let's welcome in Todd Lewis from Jackson, Mississippi. Hey, T. Lou.
Hey there. How are you, Damon?
Doing great, man. Tell us about Sam Burns. I'm thinking he might be a little bit fatigued after such an emotional United States victory.
Well, it was interesting. He did celebrate with his U.S. teammates Sunday night and the international team. I asked him how deep did the party go. He said we shut it down around midnight. He flew from there to his home near Shreveport, Louisiana on Monday, had basically most of that day off, had all of Tuesday off. And this morning, he and his wife, Caroline, drove here from Shreveport to Jackson. He'll be part of the afternoon pro-am today. And I caught up with Sam earlier, and I asked him, physically and mentally, where is he heading into this championship?
Yeah, I feel great. You know, obviously last week was a lot of golf and a lot of intense matches, but, you know, this is what I do from a day-to-day basis, and I'm excited to be here this week and ready to compete.
Can you point out some fond memories?
There's a lot. I mean, I think overall just, you know, having a team atmosphere is just so rare that we get that throughout the year on the PGA Tour, and to be able to experience that for me, for my first, you know, team event, it was unbelievable. I mean, Charlotte was amazing. The fans were incredible. So overall, just it was awesome.
Scotty made the Ryder Cup team, your good friend Scotty Scheffler, and he said after that that he felt like he belonged as an elite player. And then we saw what happened after that. He ascended to number one in the world. Do you feel like that could transcend to you as well?
Sure. I mean, I hope so. I think, you know, being around that many quality players and you know, playing a bunch with them and getting to know them even more, I feel like it definitely gives you a kind of a boost of confidence. And I feel like I was able to play really well last week under some, you know, a lot of pressure. And so I think, you know, that experience can only help.
Final thing, what is it about this golf course that you like?
I don't know, you know, whether it's a combination of, you know, growing up on a golf course very similar to this with Bermuda grass and, you know, being so close to home. I think it just kind of has that feel of, you know, what I'm used to and where I grew up. And the golf course is obviously in great shape. It always is. The greens are always perfect. So I'm just excited to be back.
You heard Sam talk about this tournament being so close to home. He is in Shreveport, like I mentioned, roughly 2 hours away. You may think that New Orleans is closer to Shreveport or maybe Houston. No, Jackson, Mississippi is closer to Shreveport. So Sam treats this as his hometown tournament on the PGA Tour. Just a couple of weeks ago, he came here for Champions Day to visit children in the Children's Hospital of Mississippi and the staff there. He held a first tee clinic with some kids here, and he also visited with the volunteers. So he is very proud of winning the Sanderson Farms Championship. He would love to repeat again. He would probably be as proud as Damon Hack was of finishing second in Pebble Beach.
Oh, you heard about that, Todd. Amazing. He's a very modest.
Oh, how can you not?
Okay, well, good to hear from the defending champ there, Todd. Now, the Country Club of Jackson, they're hosting this event for the ninth consecutive year. The players know it pretty well by now. What is it about this course? We heard Sam touching it a bit there, but what do they like so much about it?
Well, the secret is out on the PGA Tour about the Country Club of Jackson. This is a great golf course, and you start with the greens. These greens are so mint, very pure. The rolls are incredibly true. Champion Bermuda, and I've been out on the golf course today. They are rolling at around 14 on the stem. That is far above the average on the PGA Tour. And if you are downhill and down grain on these greens, whoo, man, they are fast. They'll feel like they're 18 to 20, but they are so true. So the greens are really, really top-notch here at the Country Club of Jackson. One thing that's going to be a challenge for the tour players here this week is the rough. The tour has thinned out the top of the rough, meaning that the top of the rough cannot support a golf ball. And so when it lands in the rough, it sinks to the bottom, and it's 2.5 inches of thick Bermuda rough, and it's hard to control a golf ball, even at this level, at that kind of rough. So that will be the challenge. But this community embraces this tournament so much, and like I said, this golf course is fantastic. This is a sneaky little gem on the PGA Tour schedule.
T. Lou, how about the future? Because since this became a full-fledged PGA Tour event back in 94, it's been held in the fall all but 8 times. The changes that are coming to the fall portion of the tour schedule next year, how will these fall events be impacted?
Well, let's first talk about how important the fall events are on the PGA Tour schedule. 4 of the last 6 FedEx Cup champions won a tournament in the fall, including Rory McIlroy, who won the FedEx Cup earlier this year. He won the CJ Cup, if you remember, last fall. So it's important for a lot of those players to come out and play in the fall and get a head start in the FedEx Cup rankings. It's important for guys trying to make a name for themselves on the PGA Tour. As a matter of fact, 6 of the last 8 winners of the Sanderson Farm Championship, all first-time winners on the PGA Tour. So consider that. But also moving ahead, the PGA Tour announced at the Tour Championship that next year only the top 70 will make the FedEx Cup playoffs. And although this is still slightly a work in progress, from what we understand, positions 71 and on the FedEx Cup standings will have to play in the fall to secure their card for the PGA Tour. Now, you may think that would hurt some of the fall events. Well, consider this. Look at the FedEx Cup standings from the past season from position 71 through 125. And if those players came here to Jackson, Mississippi and competed in the Sanderson Farm Championship, you'd have a pretty decent field. Daniel Berger, Justin Rose, Jason Day, Webb Simpson, Ricky Fowler, just to name a few. Talking with Steve Gent, who is the tournament director for the Sanderson Farms Championship, he said that would actually enhance the fall events. It definitely would enhance his tournament. So he seems to be embracing this real possibility of players outside of the top 70 coming into the fall and playing events that will help secure their card moving forward. So we're just going to have to see when all the final details comes out from Pottabedra and the PGA Tour.
Yeah, change is on its way, Todd. Going to be fascinating to see how it all unfolds. But mostly, I'm just very glad to know that Damon's runner-up at Pebble has traveled all the way to Mississippi. That is the biggest takeaway from this interview. Thank you, as always.
Great having T. Lou down in Jackson, Mississippi. Let's take a look at the PGA Tour upcoming fall schedule. You see where we are this week in Jackson, Country Club of Jackson. We got the Shriners Children's Open, the Zozo Championship, the CJ Cup in South Carolina. That's a Congaree, another terrific test in the South, and the Butterfield Bermuda Championship at Port Royal Golf Course, October 27th through the 30th. Now, speaking of events to look forward to later this year, Jordan Spieth announced on Tuesday he plans to compete in this year's PNC Championship alongside his father, Sean. It will be Spieth's first appearance in the event, which is scheduled for December at the Ritz-Carlton Golf Club in Orlando. Back in a bit. And we're back on Golf Today. Just a reminder, you can catch live first-round coverage of the Sanderson Farms Championship tomorrow at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time right here on Golf Channel. Sure to be an exciting week for one Bryce Wilkinson, who was given a sponsor exemption into this week's event for winning the 2022 Mississippi Amateur. He played college golf at Southern Miss and was T7 in the Conference USA Championship. In July, he won the Mississippi Amateur on the first hole of a playoff. Despite not having played golf in 2 months, he was preparing to attend law school in the fall. The victory earned Bryce a spot in the 2022 Sanderson Farms Championship. And 3 weeks later, won the Mississippi PGA Trustmark Invitational as an amateur.
What a journey this man is on. I mean, Bryce is now attending law school at Mississippi College and joins us now. Really good to see you, Bryce. Wow, you are juggling a lot. First of all, you're fresh off a midterm test at school this morning. You're now teeing it up on the PGA Tour this week. What is it like balancing all of this?
That's right, guys. Thank y'all for having me, first of all. Like you said, midterm this morning. Now I'm at the golf course trying to play in a PGA Tour event. It's still surreal. Hadn't really quite hit me yet, but I know it will tomorrow on that first tee box.
Yeah, I read where you called this week a dream come true. You're competing on the PGA Tour, you know, not far from where you live. What is the dream like so far on the eve of the opening round?
Absolutely, it's a dream. I've tried to play in this tournament multiple times, Monday qualifiers or state ams, and it happened at the least expected time when I was starting law school. So I'm trying to balance both of them as best I can. You know, I feel like I'm either reading the books or playing golf, and I don't have time to do either. but we'll make it work, and I'm looking really forward to tomorrow.
Bryce, you're one of those sort of rare talents to come out of college and just say, hey, you know what, professional golf isn't for me and I'm off to go and do something else. And in your case, that's pursuing a law degree. But I guess a couple of months ago, earlier this year, you said to yourself, hey, I'm going to give it a go at the Mississippi Amateur, one that you went to go on and win. You'd barely played golf leading up to that event. Just talk us through the build-up to that and how that week unfolded.
Yeah, you could ask anyone. I've never been much of a practicer. but I got tired of it, you know, I got burnt out, and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna put the clubs up for a little bit. And I was like, you know what, I'll play in the state am. Got in last second and had zero expectations and ended up winning it. So I'm trying to do the same thing this week. No expectations, you know, we'll see what happens.
Bryce, why does the law speak to you versus trying to pursue a professional life in golf?
Well, I don't think a lot of people realize how hard these guys, like, work. They're traveling every week and different places, practicing all the time. And I didn't see it fit for me, you know. So, but I'm not saying it couldn't be, because if this week goes well, you know, I could have a change of plans.
Well, this is it, Bryce. I mean, you're winning events without even really trying to win them. You also went to go on and win the Mississippi PGA Trustmark as well. I imagine you're coming into this week with zero expectations again. What are you hoping to get out of this week? You're playing on the PGA Tour. It doesn't get much better.
No expectations. I'm just trying to have fun. And at the end of the day, that's what golf's about. It's about having fun. And I'm going to be out here with tons of friendly family supporting me, and I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be so exciting.
You know, buddy, I read an article on the Mississippi College Law website that said you better not fall behind on your studies this week. How much will you kind of read law books this week in addition to reading putts?
That's been my problem. I have been reading. I've taken the whole week off besides this midterm I took this morning. So I'm going to be pretty far behind come Monday next week, but I'll catch back up. I'll be fine.
Depending on what happens this week, Bryce, you know, you may make the cut. You may have a top 25 finish. Who knows? By the sounds of it, the way that you approach your game, anything can happen. Is there anything that you can see happening that might change the course of your career and where you might put your focus? Perhaps law won't be the biggest priority going ahead.
Yeah, I've been telling people this all around. I said top 20, top 25, I'll go give it a shot. I know I can play with these guys. It's just a matter of picking the right day, you know. So we'll see what happens. You know, like I said, no expectations. Go have a ton of fun, enjoy it, soak it all in.
Yeah, the books will be there for you, buddy. I say put the law books aside for a while. Yeah. I know they scare you year one, they work you year two, and then they bore you year three. But enjoy this week, and thanks so much for your time, and hit them straight this week. Have fun.
No, thank y'all, man. Appreciate it.
Good stuff. What an interesting character. Great to talk to Bryce Wilkinson there. Okay, well, this is what is coming up tomorrow on Golf Channel. The Alfred Dunhill Links Championship gets underway at 7 a.m. You've got the old course in rotation. It's going to be a great watch. You've got the Ascendant LPGA benefiting the Volunteers of America. That's at 12:30. And a little bit later in the afternoon, the Sanderson Farms Championship opening round coverage coming your way.
And don't forget, Sunday night, Anna. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs battle Tom Brady and the Bucks Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern on NBC and Peacock. That's a rematch of Super Bowl 55. Looking forward to that. We're making the turn on golf today on the other side of the break. Michelle Wee West joins the show. She's got the latest on an exciting new LPGA event she'll be hosting at Liberty National next year.
Golf Today.
And with that, we say a very good afternoon. Welcome back into our Golf Today studios. Great to have you with us, Anna Jackson, alongside Damon Hacken. This is always a fascinating part of the season. We just had Bryce Wilkinson on the show. If you missed the interview, check it out, because he's studying law, was a student at Mississippi as well, and now he's teeing it up at the PGA Tour, having qualified through an amateur event. I mean, these kind of stories are just interesting.
I think you're right, especially this time of the year, we're being introduced to some interesting characters, you know, one might say, and to meet this young man who's on the cusp of a law career, who's kind of like dabbling in golf, you'd have to say. This week's a dream come true for him as a native of Mississippi, competing in Jackson this week, but not even sure he wants to do this. He'd rather pursue the law, but then if he plays well this week, maybe he's going to start chasing down Colin Morikawa and John Rahm. Wow.
I mean, this is the final wraparound season, a win for him. I mean, can you imagine the scenes? You do get these sort of interesting storylines pop up in the full season, and it's good to watch. But it is also a very big week on the DP World Tour this week, because they are headed over to Scotland for the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship. It's played at three different courses. You've got St. Andrews and Carnoustie as part of that wraparound, with Kings Barnes as well. Rory McIlroy, Matthew Fitzpatrick and Shane Lowry are among others in the field, as are a handful of LIV golfers. So it will be a similar situation to what we saw at the BMW Championship earlier this month. So here are some of the notable LIV golfers in the field this week. You've got Louis Oosthuizen, who will play in just his second DP World Tour event since committing to that Saudi-backed series. Taylor Gooch also going to tee it up as he chases world ranking points ahead of the 2023 majors. Plus, world ranking points remain a sticking point. Now, outspoken LIV critic Billy Horschel is also in the field this week, and he talked about that subject with Sky Sports' Jamie Weir, starting with Rory McIlroy.
If they meet the criteria, they can get world ranking points. I don't see any reason why they shouldn't, as long as they meet the criteria that's set out. I mean, the one thing that has been frustrating from the start of this is they just don't want to play by the rules that have been in place for so long. So it can't be one set of rules for, you know, a certain amount of people and then a set of rules for everyone else. Everyone has to abide by the same rules here. And if they're willing to abide by the rules, 100% they should get world ranking points. But the way everything is right now and the way their tour is set up, I just think it makes it very difficult for them to make that argument.
Selfishly, I don't want them to have world ranking points. But as a golf fan and everything, you know, if they meet the criteria of the official world golf ranking of the board and the federation, then maybe they should get world ranking points. But as of right now, they don't meet that criteria. I think that's one thing the public doesn't understand why they don't have world ranking points, is that there's a criteria set and there's a process set. And I know the criteria doesn't have to be exactly met, but you know, in this case, maybe the board's going to say, you know what, we're going to make you guys meet this entire criteria to be able to give you world ranking points. It's no different than, you know, as I equated it to last week, a judge who's ruling on something, she may give, you know, one of the persons who's committed a crime, you know, the full sentence of 20 years, and she may give someone else 5 years, you know, and so... but that's the board to decide what they're going to do. And there's no bias. I know Greg Norman has talked about there being a bias to, you know, with Keith Pele and Jay Monahan on the board. You know, I think the world of those two people, and I think, you know, they can set aside their differences and do what's best for the game of golf. And as I said, you know, right now LIV does not meet the criteria to get world ranking points. And it's a year and a half process minimum, the way it's always been, as far as I'm aware. So, you know, down the road, we'll see what happens. But right now, you know, them not having world ranking points, I'm okay with. And every one of those guys that signed the contract knew that they may not get world ranking points. And they factor that in it when they asked for their big signing bonus that they got. So, like I said, I've been pretty, you know, straightforward and stayed on the same path this entire time. And I'm not deviating from anything. And we're just going to let the process play out and see how it all goes to in the future.
I understand why they think they deserve points because of, you know, the players they've got, and I don't disagree with that. But if you look at, so I've been told, if you look at all the other tours in previous years that have wrote to get points. They've gone through the official process. It takes a year or 2 years, or what I've been told. You just got to wait 2 years. That's like, that's what I've been told is the process, and that's yeah, that's what it is. I don't feel like I did read somewhere that they said that you should backdate the points to when they first had the first event, which that is ridiculous. But you know, you knew what you were signing up for before you went, and if you'd probably done your homework, you would know the process takes a year or two. So you probably had to accept that, and that's just rules of the game.
Well, let's just remind ourselves of the criteria that needs to be met to be approved for official World Golf Ranking points. That you've got competitions that should be contested over 72 holes. Of course, LIV is just 54 holes. There should be a 36-hole cut, whether playing 54 or 72 holes. The average field size is should to be around 75 players over the course of the season. And LIV currently holds 48 player events. And there should also be an open annual qualifying score. So clearly there is all of this criteria that LIV currently doesn't meet. But there is two sides to every story. And LIV golfer Brandon Grace also caught up with Jamie Weir in Scotland.
You're obviously one of the signatories in this letter last week to OWGR. Just explain why you think you should be getting world ranking points.
Well, listen, if you look at the fields that's playing, you know, you got number two player in the world is playing on the LIV Tour. You know, those guys are, you know, all of us, we've played golf, we've supported all the tours in the world, and, you know, we're hell of a players. And, you know, to get those fields playing week in and not week in and week out, but playing on the schedule that we are, I think it's just fair. You know, some of us want to play less. You know, that is what we ultimately wanted to do. You know, I play 33 tournaments a year normally. You know, so if I can get it down to 25 tournaments a year, it's amazing. You know, I get to spend more time with the family and things like that. But yeah, I think it's necessary. And I think it's only going to get bigger and better. So why not?
You understand there are criteria you don't meet, though, at the moment, the no cut, the 54 holes, and the invitational aspect, because mm-hmm. everyone playing on it has mm-hmm. been asked to come and play.
Yeah, it is, but, you know, there is some qualification criteria that's also being met. You know, guys winning the Sunshine Tour Order of Merit, winning the Asia Tour Order of Merit, there is criteria for that. There's guys playing on the Asian Tour which has a chance to qualify for those events. You know, if you're lying, top three, top four, you get into the events for a certain amount of time until you have to, you know, play well on those again to qualify for the next ones. And, you know, then you have the guys that's obviously, you know, you need these things. You need to get into those certain qualification criterias to be able to start something like this. You know, you look at WGCs and all that sort of things, also limited field events, also no cuts. And, you know, as far as I know, there's no such thing saying that, you know, it needs to be 72 holes. So when you think about things like that, I know it's the beginning of it, but I hope, you know, sooner or later we're going to get there.
I don't know if you watched the President's Cup at the weekend. The Internationals gave it a right good go. I thought Trevor did an amazing job. The likes of yourself, I suppose, Cam Smith, Joaquin Neiman, did you watch it with maybe a little pang of regret that you might not be part of something like that again?
Yeah, 100%. You know, it was, you know, the three that I've played was unbelievable. You get a bond with guys that you're not going to get normally just, you know, playing any tour event. It was great. I love the whole team aspect. I think that's why I really like the LIV thing as well, just because I like being part of a team. I think it brings the best out of me, because you know, you're out there, these guys have got your back, and you also, you know, you've got their back. So you know, a lot of times when I look at the leaderboards out at LIV, you know, I almost don't even look for myself. You know, I want to see what I can do to try help the team. But yeah, to get back to the President's Cup, you know, I was gutted for them. Obviously, you know, they had a great golf team. They played well. They really pushed them on Saturday. I thought that was big. And then I think they had them a little bit nervous on Sunday, you know, at a stage there. But then there's also what could have been, you know, with, you know, I'm not saying, you know, I wasn't close to making the team, but, you know, the guys that would have been in the team, you know, didn't they go to LIV? I think it would have probably given them a little bit more of a run for the money.
You can understand his argument, Damon. Of course, they are playing with some of the best players in the world. They're playing a regular season as such. They're playing regular golf against some highly competitive players. But you cannot compare this brand new product that has come out of LIV and try and fit it into the ecosystem, as it's been called, that is the current golfing world. I mean, where do you sit on these official World Golf Ranking points, because it is going to have a huge impact on the longevity of this tour, it feels.
Yeah, it will. Right now, they don't meet enough of the criteria, the lack of a cut, the lack of the field size compared to other in the ecosystem, the way they are currently constituted, PGA Tour, DP World Tour. If this is a developmental tour, 54-hole tournaments would be okay. And I do agree with Brandon that the strength of the LIV Golf Tour, top-heavy, as it were. I mean, Dustin Johnson, you got him, you got Cam Smith, you've got Reed, you've got Brooks, you've got DeChambeau, you've got Sergio. I mean, those are household names we've been following for a decade plus. But the money was supposed to kind of assuage some of those things. These guys knew what they were getting into, and now they're kind of on the backside. They seem like they're the aggrieved party, a little bit of whining. I mean, we've seen the videos of them, you know, cracking open the lobster, you know, lobster tails, and, you know, flying, you know, first class, as it were. And now they kind of want back, they're knocking on the door and trying to get back into the party. And it's going to be very tough for them, because I just don't think, as currently constituted, with 48 players with no cut, that it meets enough of the criteria of what traditional golf requires to receive official World Golf Ranking points.
Yeah, it feels like it would need an entirely different system altogether if they are to be awarded ranking points, because you can't use the same criteria when you're measuring 72 holes against 54 holes and bigger fields. And there is so much reasoning as to see why it doesn't fit into the same system, and I'm not sure if it ever will. It's going to take a couple of years to get there, and as we know, that could, as a result, fall some of these players into complete oblivion. There's obviously a selection of players like DJ and Brooks and Bryson and Cam Smith who will be eligible for major championships for a long time to come.
Yeah, they will.
And that is an argument that a lot of players are having, and it's why we're seeing them play on the DP World Tour, is because they're looking for points to qualify into the majors. Now, I've heard this idea being floated around that perhaps that they can implement a sort of a season-long race over on the LIV Series, and the top five, the top eight, whatever it might be, can qualify into major fields. Perhaps that gives the series a bit more of a meaning, as opposed to just tuning in to watch these guys play for millions of dollars. Perhaps there is a little bit more that resonates there, and that could be a way to get around the majors. But in terms of ranking points, it's very difficult.
Hard to do when your name is LIV, which is Roman numeral for 54. That's the DNA of this rival circuit. You know, maybe you got to change the name. Would it be LXX? I mean, I don't know what else. An II for 72. I mean, you change the name, but it's very, very hard to call yourself a legitimate tour that deserves official World Golf Ranking points when your slogan is about less golf, more money, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it plays a huge part in the future of LIV. And we're not going to get an answer anytime soon, Dee.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, coming up next, how about Michelle Wee West joining the show? She's taken on a new role, host of an LPGA event. What can we expect next year at Liberty National in Jersey? Stay tuned.
Welcome back. Well, in case you missed it, we had some exciting news from the women's game last week. An inaugural LPGA event will take place June 1st through 4th of 2023, known as the Mizuho Americas Open, which will be hosted by none other than Michelle Wee West. It's coming to Liberty National Golf Club, and 120 players will tee it up for a purse of $2.75 million, the largest of the LPGA's non-major tournaments. So the Mizuho Americas Open will also host an AJGA Invitational. 24 female AJGA players will compete alongside the LPGA field for their own individual title. In rounds 3 and 4, the LPGA leaders will be paired with the AJGA leader and so on down the leaderboard. This is something that we have never seen before. So with that, I'm very excited to bring in tournament host Michelle Wee West. It's so good to see you. Congratulations to be involved in something like this, because it really is a groundbreaking format that we're seeing on the LPGA. What was it that made you want to get involved?
You know, it's a dream come true for me. You know, I've always wanted to be a tournament host, but you know, I thought that was later down the road. But this opportunity was presented to me by Mizuho. They're such an incredible company. You know, it was really their idea to and really invest big into women's game, but also do something different. Do something different, really elevate the next generation and get the juniors involved. And of course, as soon as I heard that, I was super excited. You know, obviously with my history and playing in a lot of LPGA events when I was a junior girl, I think it'll be really cool for the juniors to play alongside the pro and just really get a taste of what it's like to be an LPGA player.
Well, it's also going to be cool, Michelle, for those juniors to be around you. What lessons, messages do you want to send to the young people next year?
You know, I'm really excited because it's every LPGA player that I've talked to so far is super excited about the tournament. They're really excited about the juniors being integrated into the event. And I'm just hoping that a lot of friendships and mentorships will be cultivated during that week. I think the pros would be very excited to play with the juniors, and I think the juniors would be extremely excited to play alongside with the pros. You know, it's one thing for junior golfers to watch golf on TV. It's a whole other experience to go to a live golf tournament and watch outside the ropes. It's an outstanding experience for those girls, those top-ranked juniors, to play alongside the pros when things really matter on Saturday and Sunday. They'll see the pressure. They'll see, you know, pros getting nervous, but then they'll be able to talk about it. You know, the great thing about our tour is, you know, we have so much talent, so much excitement on our tour, but I feel like a lot of our players are super approachable, and we've all had experience as junior golfers back in the day. So I think there'll be excitement on both ends.
There will be so much excitement. It will be an experience like they've never had before, Michelle. And another really exciting element of this is the fact that it's being held at Liberty National. It's such a recognised course, and we know out on the LPGA just how important it is to be able to bring new eyeballs to the game because they're playing at such a renowned venue. What was it about Liberty National that made it such a good fit?
Yeah, I mean, as soon as we heard we wanted to be in the tri-state area, Liberty National was our number one choice. And when we brought the idea to them, Liberty National was extremely excited about the junior component. And, you know, it being hosted at one of the most iconic venues in the country, as you can see here, the Statue of Liberty, you know, you can see it from most of the golf course. And I think it's going to be so amazing to be in such a big market, to be so close to New York City, to get a lot more eyeballs on the course. Hopefully, Damon, you'll come out and play. Hopefully beat your personal course record.
That's right. I'll be there, Michelle. My 82 is in trouble because I'm playing some great golf right now.
Yeah.
But how about this era that we're living in, Michelle, and thank you for that invite. We're coming off of a President's Cup. You got Bethann Nichols and Paul McGinley championing a mixed golf event, men and women, maybe even the President's Cup. What would you like to see?
I mean, I would love to see the President's Cup become a mixed team event. It's something that internally a lot of us LPGA players have always talked about. We have such a strong international and American presence that I think it would be so much fun. I think it's time for a mix-up. I think that the guys and the girls would both love playing with each other, and I think it would make some for some amazing TV.
You are absolutely right. Nobody that anyone has spoken to has said that that is not a brilliant idea, whether it's in the President's Cup or a completely separate event. It would be so much fun to see the guys and the girls go head-to-head. But also, Michelle, I mean, you announced, of course, earlier this year that you were stepping back from tournament play and the professional game, but you are still so passionate about having a leading voice in inspiring the next generation and making sure that you leave the game in a better place than where you found it. Why is that such a big passion of yours?
Yeah, you know, when I was playing full time, honestly, I was, you know, very self-centered, I think, as all professional athletes are. We're just trying to, you know, get better ourselves. And then as I was getting injured, as I was taking more time away from the golf course, I was able to take a different perspective onto the game. And then, you know, I've had amazing mentors of the game, Meg Mallon, Beth Daniel, Kari Webb, and just kind of seeing how they, you know, really impacted the game and really learning from the 13 founders of our tour, 13 incredible women created our tour. And because of that, I have a job and I feel like it's my duty to continue that forward and create a better work environment for the girls and create more opportunities. And, you know, it's been a lot of fun, you know, having the time to be able to do that now, you know, because when you're playing 10 and a half months out of the year and when you're, you know, trying to be the best in the world, you really don't have time for a lot of other things. So now I feel like I have a lot more time. So I'm fortunate that these opportunities keep coming up where I can, I guess, try to pay it forward.
Michelle, let's be honest, because the sports fan is vulnerable right now. Federer, you know, beautiful goodbye in London, Serena in New York, Tom Brady perhaps soon, Tiger, who knows. How much will we see you inside the ropes in 2023, selfishly speaking?
You know, I'm set to play at the U.S. Open in Pebble Beach. David Ledbetter, my coach, keeps reminding me that's just around the corner and that I need to keep practicing. So yeah, I mean, you'll see me there, and I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure. It's, you know, never say never. Might see me more. I'm not sure.
Well, we know you've got your hands full at home with little two-year-old McKenna, who is just beautiful, and I'm sure it's so much fun to be around. You've got it all going on. You're a very busy woman, Michelle, so thank you for your time, and we are so excited for this event next year. It sounds brilliant.
Thank you, guys.
I really love this idea because it checks so many boxes that are so important in this game, mainly bringing in the juniors. Mm. What an amazing experience this is going to be for those 24 young girls to play alongside their heroes on TV, inside the ropes, at Liberty National, which is obviously close to your heart for many reasons.
Yes,
Damon.
And Michelle, she's seen it all and done it all. She's seen the highs and the highs and the struggles, injury, superstardom as a teenager. And what better person, I still contend one of the most, four or five famous people in golf, to lend her voice and her experience and her passion for this game, especially for young people. I mean, that's a gift for the LPGA and a gift for the juniors that'll be able to travel to the Big Apple and hop across maybe on that ferry to Liberty National. I'm looking forward to 2023. It's going to be a great event.
It will be. And it's amazing to see her passion. And she said it there. She really comes to life when she talks about giving back to the game. And I was down there on Friday when they did the official announcement for this event with Michelle. And she was taking clinics for the youngsters. And they were all taking photos with her. And they were just so excited and just so inspired to just be around her and to kind of feel that presence that she has. Yeah. I mean, she's a global superstar. And she's transcended golf. And she's doing everything with the power that she has in the right way.
It's going to be a great week. I think my 82 is probably in trouble. I imagine that. I think so.
Perhaps by some of the junior girls out there.
Oh, easily. Yeah, easily. Yes. No question about it. Well, the LPGA is actually back in action this week, Anna, in Texas for the Ascendant LPGA, benefiting the Volunteers of America. Looking forward to that event. World number two, Nelly Korda, healthy, finally coming off a miscut in last week's Northwest Arkansas Championship. And you'll see, as we often see, Anna, a fantastic field. You got the Korda sisters, major champ like Jennifer Kupcho, Yuka Saso, a big hitter, Lexi Thompson, one of the notable players, Lydia, you got Se-young Kim, Danielle Kang, Brooke Henderson, Nasa Hataoka as well.
Yeah, we're never short for big names, especially as we build up to the race to the CME Globe coming up in just a couple of months' time. Well, let's take a look, shall we, before we look ahead to the end of the season, where we are at so far this season. 22 different winners, including 9 first-time winners. Multiple winners as well, including Jennifer Kupcho, who broke through on the major scene. Brooke Henderson returned to the major scene as well. Atiya Titical with 2 wins. Rookie of the Year, no doubt. And Minji Lee as well. Some fantastic major winners. Cohen Titical tied for the most top 10s with 11. And the scoring leader is Lydia Ko. So fun to see her back in form, Damon. So let's take a little analysis, shall we, of the season so far. One word to describe this LPGA Tour season.
I think it's parity. 22 different winners, 9 first-time winners. And it's neat to be introduced to some young stars, some new faces. But I'll be honest, I'm coming off of a year where Nelly Korda won 5 times, if you include that Olympic gold medal. You know, Jin Young Ko, 5 times. Danielle Kang, these players kind of carried 2021, and 2022 has really been about injury. Yes, parity, but also injury and some scary ones with Danielle Kang, a tumor on her spine just coming back. Nelly Korda losing months with a blood clot. Now you have Jin Young Ko dealing with a wrist injury, not in the field. So I do think that a lot of us were looking forward to this kind of potential rivalry between Jin Young Ko and Nelly Korda, and having, you know, Danielle Kang pushing both of those players. But the LPGA's best players have not been healthy this year. I think that's been a bit of a loss, if we're honest.
Yeah, I mean, any sport needs its stars. You mentioned it to Michelle West just there, you know, seeing Roger Federer retire, Serena Williams retire, Nadal possibly fading away.
Fading, so.
These are the names that have kept us so excited about tennis for so many years. And you're right, without those big stars kind of taking home the big trophies this season, it has felt perhaps a little bit, we have lost that star power. But we were talking to Ron Sarek about this earlier in the week, who's covered the game for 30 years. And he just said this is a different kind of storyline that we're seeing through. We've got this rotation of potential number one players as opposed to having a dominant number one player, whether it's Jin Young Ko, Nelly Korda, Lydia Ko, Minji Lee, Lexi Thompson. All these players have got the potential week in, week out. And that they are exciting names, but there's just not a dominant name.
It just seems like in sports, you know, whether it's the Yankees, people love the Yankees or absolutely hate the Yankees, and that's because of their greatness. You know, the Tiger Woods, you didn't have to be a Tiger fan to want to tune in to see what he was going to do. I mean, people love dynasties. And I think when you have a Tiger winning 6, 7 times, you know, chasing major championships, when you have Annika and Corey Webb battling so beautifully as they did in the early 2000s, I think greatness and chasing history really elevates the sport. And maybe these young players will. Ataya Titikon, 19 years of age, and 2 wins this season. That's remarkable. But I just think because of how much Jin Young Ko and Nelly Korda pushed the boundaries last year of what's possible with 5 wins and Nelly becoming number 1 and winning a major, an Olympic gold medal. I mean, it was remarkable. I remember seeing her actually at the Mizuho event at Baltusrol last year, and she was like, you know what? People keep talking about my Olympic gold. I actually won a major this year, too. Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of greatness I think that LPGA fans were warming up to, just haven't had that same oomph this year.
We love the rivalries. We love the big names, the big storylines, but we cannot take away from what an incredible season this has been for the LPGA. In terms of growth, I mean, the purses that we've seen, ProMedica coming into the mix at the US Women's Open, $10 million purse. The KPMG Women's PGA Championship, they doubled their purse on the week of the championship this year to $9 million. 9 tournaments have elevated their purses. We've seen some amazing venues. We've got some incredible venues coming up. Baltusrol, Pebble Beach, St. Andrews, Erin Hills. This is what elevates the game because it excites people to see the women playing on world-renowned golf courses, and we're getting all of that, and it's just, it is getting better and better in terms of
it. Is. I love the LPGA. I will happily go to every single event you just mentioned. Next year it'll be a long line, I'm sure. Let's ask the boss, see if we can both go.
Let's do it.
It'll be a lot of fun. Can't wait for 2023. All right, and guess what? Coming up next, how about PGA Tour University Velocity Global Rankings providing playing opportunities to the game's top college seniors? Going to meet one of those players after the break. Welcome back to Golf Today. Let's take a look at the PGA Tour University Velocity Global Ranking. Top 10 players in the final Velocity Global Ranking will earn Korn Ferry Tour membership next season, with number 1 through 5 being exempt members, 6 through 10 being conditional members. Then additionally, players 6 through 20 will be exempt members on PGA Tour Canada and PGA Tour Latino America as well. 11 through 20, these are fantastic young players and a college seniors. You see Oklahoma's redshirt senior Patrick Welch, and he's coming off a year where the California native won his 2nd collegiate event. I mean, he's a baller, and let's just be honest.
So let's dive in, shall we? Let's dive in a little bit more to his bio. You mentioned it. He's a redshirt senior. He's from California.
Yes.
37 collegiate events. He's played 2 career wins. Tied 15th at this year's NCAA Championship. He shot 63 in round 3, which was a massive momentum turner for his team to get through to that match play portion, which they ultimately did lose in the opening round. So let's have a chat, shall we, with the man himself as Patrick Welch joins us now. Patrick, really good to see you. We just saw it in the standings there. You're sat comfortably on those PGA Tour University rankings. Tell us, how focused are you to climb up that list as a way to gain immediate Korn Ferry Tour status when you graduate?
You know, definitely, you know, you can't really control like where you want to be, like as in thinking, but you know, if you go out each week, each tournament, you know, just, it's really hard not to think about the rankings and stuff, but you know, just playing each week, each tournament, you know, best you can, and not let anything get to you, you know, it'll fall where you fall. And you know, it's hard not to think about, but I mean, in the back of my mind, it'll be there for the rest of the year for sure. So
Patrick, redshirt senior, you're a player like many collegians who had to deal with the COVID-19 pandemic and making choices and decisions. How challenging was it for you in a time that was very challenging for the world?
You know, when the season ended, I guess 2020, it seems not too long ago, but when that ended, you know, we lost basically the rest of the spring season from March, and we didn't get to play postseason tournaments, national championship, and our team that year was really, really good. And, you know, it was a bummer that it ended that way. But, you know, the NCAA was fortunate, and we were all very fortunate to have the chance of getting an extra year back. And, you know, I was talking to my parents when that happened, when that was available, and, you know, they were all for it. And, you know, fast forward a couple years later, I'm in my fifth year, and, you know, if I didn't take a fifth year, I mean, who knows what I'd be doing right now. So I'm very fortunate.
Yeah, Patrick, no doubt it's been a journey for you at Oklahoma. It hasn't been plain sailing at all. You had a bit of a rough patch a couple of seasons ago, but you turned it around and you came out the other side. What did you learn about yourself in that time where you were struggling a little bit with your game?
You know, when I was struggling, I was pretty lost, not just with golf, but just who I was as a person and where I was. And it was just really tough to kind of get out of. But, you know, when you have teammates like I do and coaches that support you and they just love you and, you know, they're always going to be there for you, you know, it makes it a lot easier to kind of, you know, push through. I learned that I was, you know, it was pretty resilient to, you know, where I was like last year, a year and a half ago, you know, it was not fun for anyone, but just actually going through it, you know, with nothing really to do, you know, it was really tough, but, you know, eventually there was light at the end of the tunnel and, you know, I pushed through and I'm just taking it day by day by now. So,
Patrick, I read that part of the struggles had to do with you losing your father a couple of years ago, which is very difficult at any time of life, but especially for a young person like yourself. How much do you still hear his voice? And this is someone who put golf clubs in your hand for the first time when you were a kid.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think about him every day, no matter what I'm doing. You know, before each tournament or the night before, I'm always thinking, you know, I'll dream about, you know, us hanging out or, you know, I'm on a golf course and, you know, kind of just, it's just an everyday thing. You know, it's normal to me now. So I know he's always with me. And it's tough when he's not here. Obviously, it's been a little over 2 years now, but I mean, it feels like he's been gone. You know, it's just tough to explain, honestly. You know, and you know, I just want to make him proud and try and play my best golf because I know he really wanted me to do my fifth year, and so now that I'm doing it, you know, I just want to play for him as well. So, yeah.
It's an irreplaceable loss, Patrick. And as you said, the way that your team and your coach has rallied around you during your time at Oklahoma and the support has just been absolutely second to none. I saw when you broke through once again, finally last season in Vegas, Coach Hibble said that he's never wanted one of his students to win more than he wanted you to win. And he's never been so nervous because he knew how badly you wanted to get over the line. Just talk us through that week and what a moment that was for you breaking through into the winner's circle again.
You know, so that was our second tournament of the spring, and a couple weeks earlier, we played in Puerto Rico, and I was leading after the first round, and I knew there was a tour spot on the line. You know, I just didn't make enough birdies the last 2 days, so my teammate Chris Goddard ended up winning, which was I was super excited for him, and to see him play really well in the tour event, you know, just made me a lot hungrier to win the next tournament, which was in Vegas. Because they had a tour spot open as well. And I really, really wanted to win that tournament. It's hard to win tournaments. You can play well and still not win, but I knew I had to, you know, be on the top of my game for that week. And to see it come to fruition and, you know, pull through really meant a lot to me. And I was just really excited.
Patrick, there've been some great athletes to go through Oklahoma, Sam Bradford, number one pick in the NFL draft, Blake Griffin, incredible athlete who can dunk. You can dunk. This video that we unveiled, I'm shocked. I was on Instagram, like, just kind of cruising. And you're, like, wiping the soles of your shoes like you're Michael Jordan. I mean,
I had to get the grip good so I can jump. I didn't want to break myself. I was,
do you still hoop? I mean, I'm an old man. I can't dunk anymore. For a time, I could. How much are you, like, hooping, you know, a little intramural basketball, perhaps?
I couldn't tell you the last time I playing basketball, like at a gym. My freshman year, I went a lot, like during the off season, but I don't know. It's just kind of hard to find time now. I mean, maybe I'll go again after the fall season just for fun. But, you know, I miss playing basketball. It was probably one of the most fun times I've had playing sports. And, I don't know if I can do that anymore.
Very modest.
Well, you're a baller. You've got a golf going in the right direction for you, that is for sure. Enjoy your final year at Oklahoma. We're looking forward to seeing you out there. So, yeah, enjoy the journey.
I enjoy it. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Okay, good stuff. Thanks, Patrick.